Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Myrtle Beach Report. This is Dr. John. It's a beautiful and sunny day here in Myrtle Beach. The crowds are coming in. Folks are having a great time. Cody and I have been out on the boardwalk today doing caricatures for folks and just having a great time. As I was walking back through town, I stopped by the world-famous Jack Thompson Studios and met a friend of Jack Thompson Studios. He was so entertaining, I said, "You got to come on the Myrtle Beach Report." And he said, "Oh, why not?" So what I want to do is I want to introduce to everybody Clinton of Atlantic Pet Sitting. How are you doing today, Clinton?
I'm doing just fine, John. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's a beautiful day today. What are you up to right now?
Well, right now I'm hanging out with a bloodhound and a Yorkshire Terrier, making sure that they're getting plenty of exercise. It's a little hard because the bloodhound is about 4 times the size of the terrier, so we kind of got to figure out a nice little half step to keep them lined up.
Gotcha. Are they fun dogs? Are they nice dogs?
Oh, they're so sweet. Absolutely. Yeah, the hound dog's the girl. And so she doesn't let anything get within 5 feet of the terrier. And the terrier is a sweet little old man. He's half blind. So he has to get right up into something to smell it before he can even tell what it is. So it's real cute, little back and forth, watching them bump into each other and take care of each other.
Well, that's great. Now, how long have you been doing the pet sitting business? That really sounds like a lot of fun. It does.
Yeah. I used to manage the escape room on the boardwalk for about a year and a half. And after I finished that job in October, I said, what I really want to do is spend maybe a little less time around people and a little more time around animals. So I've been with Atlantic Pet Sitting since October.
Well, that's great. Sounds like a lot of fun, and I know that you are a highly recommended person because you're friends with my buddy Jack Thompson, the great photographer in Myrtle Beach. And in fact, everybody, we'll have Jack Thompson on here very soon. Looking forward to it. He's got great stories from the past, the present, and a lot of ideas about the future. So, Clint, you were telling me that I said, "I bet you got some funny stories about pets." You said, "Yeah, but the really funny stories are about the pet owners." And that's when I knew I wanted you to tell some of these stories to everybody here on the Myrtle Beach Report. Tell us, absolutely.
One. Well, let me start with the last one that gave me kind of a headache, because it's one of those things where at the time you're thinking to yourself, this is the worst day of my life, but then afterwards you can laugh at it. So about a month ago, we get a client over at the Grand Dunes. It's a very she part of town, high-end clientele. Really, really lovely people, a couple going on vacation, but they've got 4 dogs, all rescues, and an injured duck. So right away, not totally orthodox as far as I'm used to. Most of my clients are a dog and a cat, maybe 1 or 2 of each. But this was, I'd never even held a duck before this, much less taken care of one. But I was up to the challenge, not a problem. So I go in, my first couple of days are perfectly smooth. 3 of the dogs and the duck hang out together. One of the dogs is very antisocial, so I have to keep her separate. She's a tiny little poodle, blind, mostly crippled, can't really walk too well. So the second day I come over, and as far as I know, as far as the owners of the animals know, they have only given me a key. I'm the only person who has a key to their building. And I cannot find this poodle to save my life. And I'm, John, going absolutely insane. I'm thinking to myself, how could I have possibly lost a dog that doesn't even leave the house? I have to physically pick her up.
You can't even see to leave the house. Yeah.
Huh?
Wow.
Right.
You
She's
can't even
small.
See to get
She's
out
too...
of that.
Right. There's just no way she could have. And what's more, I have to play through on her little princess pillow before I leave her today. So I'm looking at this dog square in the eye as I'm closing the door and locking it up for our last visit of the evening. And when I come in the next day, she's not there. So I'm trying not to panic because that doesn't make anything better. So I start looking all over the house, trying to find this little poodle. No luck. You know, I'm starting to get bad ideas. She's 13 years old. She's got very advanced cancer. Maybe this is it. So I call my boss, Chris. He's a great guy. Chris says, I'll come over for your next visit. I'll help you find the dog. We'll figure it out. We've tried contacting the clients half a dozen times, but they're on vacation. It's a different time zone. I probably won't hear from them soon. So after a couple hours, I'm really starting to panic because, you know, it's not even about my job at this point, John. I'm an animal lover. The idea that there's a dog, yeah. I can't find it. She might need my care. So we finally get a call from the owners, and they're beside themselves, okay? So I'm talking to the first client, and she goes, you left my dog outside in the rain, and she got eaten by coyotes. I just know it. I just know it. We never should have left. She drops the phone in a panic. Her husband picks up the phone, and he says, listen, sir, it's a keep and drive situation. My blind, crippled dog did not walk herself, okay? So you're going to go. You're going to walk through every acre of my property until you find her, or I'm going to jump on a red eye from Florida to here. We're going to have a very serious problem. Meanwhile, my boss is doing everything he can, flipping all the furniture. We're just completely, completely, like, lost. And then we hear the tiniest little noise come from upstairs. Hello? It's a voice, okay? So right away we're concerned because I'm supposed to be the only one with a key in the whole state. Nobody told me there'd be anybody else here. Well, wouldn't you know it, this couple's estranged daughter saw that they were going on vacation from their Facebook page, broke into the house in the middle of the night in between my first and my second visit, and the dog is sleeping with her in the attic. They're camped out there, and they don't want to give up their spot because she ain't supposed to be there. So here I am, 10 o'clock in the morning. I've been threatened physically. I've had made a poor woman cry because she thought her only sweet little dog was passed away or missing or eaten by coyotes. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't even care that I might have lost my job. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I might have killed a dog through my own negligence. That's unspeakable. Yeah. And it turns out me. Just your crazy kid breaking into your own house while you're not there.
So did you call
him
back?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We called him back, and I really can't believe how many times these people were able to fit an apology into a 30-second conversation on the phone. I don't think I've ever heard that. I'm sorry more times than a single rule. And, you know. At the end of the day, I was just so relieved nothing happened to that poor little dog. That was the only thing I really cared about. And luckily, my terrific niece was there to, like, help me handle all the, you know, customer stuff. So at the end of the day, the clients were really happy with the service, and, you know, they recommended me to all their friends. So it worked out, but that was definitely the most stressful day I've had in the last couple of years.
All right. What happened to the daughter?
The daughter? She, I guess, had had some complications at school. Apparently, she had a run-in with the law and was laying low. it was a little complicated. A funny thing, though, so I saw her contract, and, you know, the wounded duck takes a lot of effort to take care of. He can't really walk or fly, so every time it was time to take care of him, I had to, like, carry him out of the house into a little pool and help him bathe himself and feed him bugs. And that's not even the grossest animal I've had to take care of. But the girl, I guess, was just chilling at the house until they came back from vacation. So I'd be there at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, trying to do all this stuff. And she'd be there with, you know, partying and boys and stuff and, I mean, it's not my, like, I'm here to take care of your animals. I'm not here to, like, you know, tattle on your adult daughter. You can deal with all that stuff.
Exactly. That's great. Well, that is a good one for sure. So what's another good story? I love these owner stories. It's like the owners get told on, but they don't get their name out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would never expose that. Here's a good story, because this actually ended up not being a client of ours. So the way our business works is you find us online or whatever, and then you call and schedule what's called a meet and greet, or myself or one of the other pet care professionals come to your house, and then that way you can show us exactly how you want us to take care of your pets, you know? And we take fastidious notes, and we make sure that we're following, no matter how unorthodox or, you know, maybe a little overprotective, you're not trained basically to just assume every client has cameras and baby monitors hidden all over the house. Why wouldn't they, you know?
Right.
So all you're ever going to see if you're using your security system is just us taking care of your dog exactly the way you told us to. So we show up at this woman's house. We have to meet her. She says she's a breeder of rare cats, okay? Or felines. Rare felines. So right away, that was maybe a bit of a trip for us, because we were just like, who calls our cat felines? That's not usual. So we get there, and like most of our clients, it's a high-end neighborhood, and, you know, the house is bigger than any place I've ever lived, that's for sure. And there's this beautiful, gorgeous salmon-colored cat just strolling, sunbathing around. So my boss and his trainee, they get out of the car, and the cat walks up, and the trainee, like, bends down to pet it, and they hear this horrible shriek from just in the distance. Now, this old woman, I guess, who lives there, she flings herself from the front door, tears across the lawn, and scoops up the cat in one hand before we can even lay a single finger on it to pet her. And she goes, no, 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 that's not how you pet these animals. You must start at the base of the tail and work your way up slowly against the grain. So this pretty much sets the tone.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. So she goes on to explain that these cats are bred and sold internationally for between $15,000 and $20,000. So the two felines in question that we'd be taking care of are breeders, which means that they're not even for sale. Their value is beyond monetary value when it comes to cats and the international rare cat trade. But, you know, here's the thing. Myrtle Beach has a lot of people who are very well off. And once you've retired and your kids are adults and, you know, whatever, a lot of people transfer a lot of that energy and affection to their pets, because they're your best friends. They live in your house with you. They snuggle you at night or whatever. They're very important, you know. I don't know if you have any animals, John.
I don't, but I sure have had in the past and loved them to
death.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I have two dogs, a cat, and a snake myself, and I'm a big lover of any animal. And so I understand, you know, being overprotective, but that was, you know, kind of a sight to start off on. So she typically spends a good 2 hours walking us through everything, okay? You know, specific food and medicine and supplements, and I'm no stranger to that. You know, they train us on this job on the spot. You know, I can give insulin to dogs and medicine through injections and all that kind of thing. It's not that complicated. It's really easy as long as you go slow. That's what's really important. So a typical one of these interviews lasts maybe 15, 20 minutes. We've been here for 2 hours at this point. I'm on my third sheet of notebook paper keeping these notes. And then finally, at the end of the day, meanwhile, this whole thing's taking place, like I said, in a house where my entire apartment could fit in the living room, no problem. And then she goes, so, what are we looking at, like $30 a day? And we're standing there like, miss, you're asking for 24-hour round-the-clock service. You're essentially requesting one of our staff members move into your house for a week. And, we charge $20 for a 15-minute visit, $25 for a 30-minute visit, and then we offer $75 for an overnight when we sleep at your house from 2:30 to 6 in the morning. And that way, if you've got an older dog or a dog with medical needs, it's a lot easier for us to be on top of that. So she's pitching $30 for a 24-hour round-the-clock, and we're just sitting there like, I don't know how you can be standing there holding a $25,000 cat in your arms and pitching me less than minimum wage to take care of it? Where? Can you just show me your spaceship that's buried in the backyard? Because that's not how we do business here on Earth.
Oh, I deal with spaceships all the time, and they can cloak themselves well. So hers was definitely just in the backyard cloaked.
I mean,
for sure.
I have to believe it. I just can't, with a straight face, imagine any other pet sitter in the state would take that. You know, you'd make more money selling bottles of water on the sidewalk. And that's before, you know, like, God forbid something happens to the animal. You know, that's just, it was outrageous. That's the bottom line, is that everybody's a little nut when it comes to their pets. You know, everybody cares about their dog and their cat, maybe to the point where you wouldn't totally admit it to your friends and your family. And that's fine. Like I said, as an animal owner, I completely understand that. But you'd be amazed at how these people, so overflowing with empathy and love for their pets, treat us, the humans who take care of them, very, very weirdly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I understand. So how did this one turn out? What's the moral of this story, and how did it turn out?
We just could have never settled down on a price that was, like, reasonable or even legal. And so we did our best to recommend whatever we could, you know, like there are other services in the area. And the woman was just really perturbed. She felt like we had wasted her time. And I was disappointed that I didn't get to spend time with such rich, beautiful cats, because they're Turkish swimming cats, and they really love the water. So part of the care process would have been bathing them, giving them like little swimmy times. I was really looking forward to that. But like I said, the moral is don't expect people to have realistic expectations about the needs of your humans. You know, they'll bend over backwards to make sure their dogs and cats are fine. But when the human being says, yeah, miss, that sounds fine, but I'm going to need at least enough money to live, that's when things get a little dicey.
Well, I know. But at least need $9 an hour, for goodness sake.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
Pay
$30
minimum wage
for 24-hour service? What industry on earth are you getting that from? But that is such a rarity. I mean, like, here's the thing. I was an art teacher, and I ran a summer camp for the theater and arts community in Philadelphia for, you know, close to 10 years. So I'm really, really comfortable working with children, working, you know, with people with special needs. I have a degree in social work, so, you know, I started off working with homeless and drug addicts and stuff. I'm a very empathetic person, but after all the years I had working with people, working with poor people, children, that sort of thing, I just said, you know, I need to spend more time with animals. And been so much more rewarded in that place, you know. In a given day of work for me, I might see 8 to 15 animals and maybe interact with 2 people, you know?
Yeah. Well, that sounds like you've got a great job, Clint, and sounds like you do a wonderful job with the dogs, cats, and other animals that you run into when you're doing pet sitting. So tell us, how do we get in touch? Pardon me?
Well, I was just going to say, the key is that everyone who works for the pet sitting is themselves a pet owner. That's something that the owners, Christopher and Amanda Harris, just really amazing people. If I can just spend a second to say how much of a blessing it is to have such great people at the helm of this company. It's just about how would you feel if a stranger was in your house taking care of your best and most vulnerable friend? It's a very sketchy situation. It's a very intimate thing to ask a stranger to do. And so what we're trained to do is really just to focus on, like, making you, the owner, feel comfortable. We send you pictures of your pets every time we show up. We have a GPS tracker in our computer system. So whenever you get a contact from us, you see a little dot that shows my phone is right inside your apartment right now. I'm 100% here. Here's a picture of your dog snuggling on the couch. You know I'm taking care of him. You know, it's just about making sure that you know your pets are being cared for.
Absolutely. So I was going to ask if we needed to get in touch with your establishment to get our pets taken care of while we're on vacation or while we're down here on vacation. I mean, you know, it's not uncommon for a family to bring their pet and want to spend 1 8-hour period without the pet, like they're going to be doing, you know, riding all kinds of crazy things, and it'd be tough having their favorite dog there. So how do we get in touch with you?
So AtlanticPetSitting.com is our website, and you can get through any of our information there. If you have any questions at all, our office hours are 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to midnight. And the best way to get a response is email. That's bookings, like you're booking an event, bookings@AtlanticPetSitting.com. And Chris, the manager and the owner of the business, he's real good about getting back to people pretty much right away. They'll send someone out like me to come meet you, and you can show me everything you need to do. And then you either give us a key or a way to bypass your security system, whatever you need. And then if you're happy with our service, we just keep your key in our filing system. And then from there, it's just effortless to set up another visit from the portal. You know, we keep all the special pets information, pictures of the pets, their medicines, that kind of thing on file. So, you know, if I've been taking care of a dog for 2 or 3 years, you know, I'm sick, my car breaks down, it takes 30 seconds for me to call up one of the other sitters, walk them through how to do it, and then, you know, that way it's just a seamless transition. The dogs are never the ones who have to suffer in case, you know, something comes up.
All right. Well, that's great. So we know how to get in touch with you. And that phone number again is?
For the Atlantic Pet Sitting, I've
yes,
got
sir.
It. Right. Yeah, I've got it right here. It is. All my notes are on the back. Or do I? I don't have the phone number handy. But it's AtlanticPetSitting.com. Yeah.
We'll just find it right here. Give it to everybody because that's what we're part of. PetSitting.com.
Yeah,
great. And
Facebook is also a really great way to get in touch with us. And with permission from our clients, we're pretty comfortable because we have to take pictures or videos of the pets during every visit. We post lots of our very popular pets. You know, we've got a lot of animals that have been with us since day one. The company's 4 years old. And so, you know, we've got unofficial mascots up and down the whole coast. And we service pretty much everywhere on the Grand Strand, Myrtle Beach area. You know, I've got dogs and cats in North Myrtle. I've got them down in Myrtle's Inlet and absolutely everywhere in between. So, you know, chances are if you can hear this podcast, you're almost certainly within our constituency.
Great. So it is area code 843-231-2110. That's Atlantic Pet Sitting, 843-231-2110. And tell them the Myrtle Beach Report and Clint sent you. And they'll take great care of you. And you might get to meet Clint and have a wonderful time as he takes care of your best friends, your pets. So Clint,
yeah,
thanks a lot for being here on the Myrtle Beach Report. And, yeah, and what do you have to say in closing here? And what would you like to say in closing here?
Oh, just that I'm really so happy to be working for a company that obviously cares. You know, there's so many jobs down in Myrtle Beach where it's about getting the customer in, taking their money, and getting them back out the door. And that's the exact opposite. We're here to engage with our clients. We're here to make sure that our animals are happy and comfy and play with them. You know, so if you ever have any anxiety about leaving because you just don't know what you would do with your best friend while you're on vacation, we're that solution. We're here to give your cats and dogs the best care that you could ever hope for.
Well, thank you very much, Clint. We appreciate it. I know the folks at Atlantic Pet Sitting appreciate you being a wonderful ambassador. And we'll see you down on the boardwalk on Myrtle Beach Report. Have a good one.
Yep, you too. Thank you so much for